4, 3, 2. Hello everyone, this is Joe Cristiano and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, May 27th, 2007, it is now 8:01 Central Time in the good old United States. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Now on to our program. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, in other words, when we are rebroadcasting, you may call area code 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Or, of course, you can send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues as well. Go to Andy Sutton's website. It's www.mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And the two is a Roman numerical two. And you get educated on economic issues and how economic issues can affect you directly. He does a very, very fine job. Okay, now on to our program. Special recognition this evening goes to the 9/11 group movement. Now, there's a lot of varying opinions regarding the not only the legitimacy of the movement, but there's questions as to where it is going and what it is trying to accomplish. I think the 9/11 movement, folks, is something that we should admire, because here is something that occurred here in the United States which we do not quite understand, and there are people, average, ordinary people, retired people, students, who are taking their time out of their lives to try to uncover what exactly happened. And I think it's wrapped up beautifully on a t-shirt that I saw this week, and this is why I'm making this comment. It says, "The truth about 9/11 is that we don't know the truth about 9/11. Truer words have never been spoken." Here we have a situation that is unparalleled. And if this is the only time that the government, if the government was not complicit in 9/11, it would be the only time in our history that the government was not complicit in engaging in war, or at least starting a war. It would in fact not be what typically, historically we've done, but it would be the exception if the government wasn't complicit. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. We have somehow red flagged every single situation, every single conflict we've been involved in. We've done so at the expense of the populace so that the government can enter into conflict and somebody else profited by it. That's a real shame. Oh, and that includes Pearl Harbor, by the way. And I won't get into that right now. I should have a special program on that. I'd like to also encourage everyone to listen to Ron Paul tonight. This is, again, Sunday, May 27th. He'll be on CNN, I've been told, at 9 p.m. Central Time. Ron Paul is the only Republican candidate running for president that is speaking the truth and speaking out. He is speaking out against the Federal Reserve. He is speaking out against the nanny state, the government control of our lives, overseas conflicts and our intrusion in other countries, and our immediate withdrawal from every place around the world and come home. I mean, he is really speaking the truth and speaking the minds of the people. In fact, he is the only Republican candidate that is speaking that way of the dozen that are running. And all the rest, they look like mirror images of one another, or they sound like mirror images of one another. They are parroting one another, and they all sound like babbling idiots. They sound like bureaucratic idiots. And we've become so accustomed to listening to babbling idiots that we think this is intelligent speak. They are giving us doublespeak. The only one giving us the truth is Ron Paul. And what does the Republican Party do? Well, now they're shunting him. They're trying to lock him out of the primary debates. You know why? Because they're afraid of him. Isn't that amazing? So far, so good for free speech. Could you imagine the Republican Party is trying to block him out of the debates because he is gaining so much momentum and the other candidates will not answer the questions? Because they can't answer the questions. Now, Giuliani is an Italian from New York. I'm an Italian from New York. Giuliani's an idiot. I hope I'm not an idiot. I hope Giuliani just drops out of this race because I hope he doesn't have a snowball chance in hell of winning. I hope he doesn't have a snowball chance in hell after Ron Paul is heard by all the people. Anyway, enough of ranting on that. High prices of gasoline. Everyone's complaining. Everyone wants the government to do something about it. Very typical of the American mentality today. If something goes wrong, there should be a law. The government should get involved in absolutely everything. And at the same time, we want the government intrusion out of our lives. What are we going to learn? The antidote, folks, to high prices is high prices. When the prices get high to a point where it's intolerable, we will stop buying that product. We will stop driving our cars nonsensibly as we are doing today. I heard on NPR radio that this weekend will be a banner weekend for travel, and we will exceed all other years in the number of miles traveled. In other words, even with the high price of gas, we still get on the road and do whatever the heck we want. To heck with high prices. The high prices don't bother us. We just want to complain about it and have someone else do something. But God forbid, what we do is that maybe we stay home one day instead of traveling so much and burning fuel for absolutely no reason, you know, which would reduce the cost of gasoline by 50 cents or a dollar if we just reduced our consumption by 4%. 4% is practically nothing. And the price of gas would go down to 50 cents to a dollar. And I can guarantee you everybody, and the refineries would have no trouble supplying us with gasoline. And all the tanks around the country would be filled. All the bulk plants would be filled with gasoline. They wouldn't know what to do with it. But no, not Americans. No, we can't do that. We got to complain about the government, complain to the government, have government put price controls, create a scarcity, and then we'll bitch about how the government is intruding in our lives and those bums should get out of office. And then what we do is we vote them right back in again. I think I'm losing my mind. Okay. Tonight, the issue is the Communist Manifesto. This is something that we never hear about anymore, and with good reason. You see, the Communist Manifesto, the title of my speech tonight, or the talk tonight, is the Communist Manifesto, Are We in Compliance? Now, first of all, Let me encourage you to call, if you're listening live, 646-652-4620. Please call in and we'll have a conversation or answer your questions while on the air. That's 646-652-4620. Now, I picked up the Communist Manifesto because I was reading an article and they mentioned it. I said, you know, I haven't seen that thing in about 30 years. I wonder if, you know, I forgot what it said, but I said, I'm sure it's going to be the antithesis of the American of our Constitution, which it is. Now, understand, folks, that the Constitution of the United States was intended to vest all the power of the country, of the state, in the individual. We are the governors. I know we don't think of it that way, but we are. That was the intent. We govern. It's a government of, for, and by the people. Not by these bureaucrats. It is us. We are the governors. And we abdicate this responsibility to every time we elect someone who decides to legislate us right out of existence. Our freedoms right out of existence. As I said last week, Arlen Specter said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And he meant it because he's dumb. And what he said, well, without legislation, we have anarchy. No, with legislation, you have slavery. We are the governors. We are the government. We are the ones that dictate what this country does and what we do and where we go, not the people in office. And that was the intent of the Constitution. Now, the reason why I picked the Communist Manifesto, not only because I saw it in an article that I was reading and it piqued my interest, but it's the exact opposite in mentality that we than our Constitution. And I'm going to very quickly go over the 10 points of the Communist Manifesto. I'm not going to go through all of them. It's boring as heck. And it's horribly written, by the way. It's not well written at all. And I'm going to go through them very, very quickly and maybe make a comment on each one of them. All right. The first one is the abolition of property. Abolition of property in land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. In other words, people don't own land anymore. Now, the only people who do in a socialistic or communistic state, and the ones that the Democrats would like to have, because Democrats are socialists by nature, Republicans are also socialists by nature, but for a different reason. We have Republicans and Democrats who are socialists, ladies and gentlemen. They believe in the free enterprise system to a point, but in every other aspect, they want regulation of the free enterprise system. Now, you cannot be free and be regulated. Understand that. And right now, we say we are a free people, highly regulated. Now, that's like saying black is white. That's like saying left is right. There's something wrong with that statement. It's like 1 + 1 = 3. None of that makes any sense. And it makes no sense because what we're doing makes no sense. You cannot have a regulated economy. You cannot have, as Arlen Specter would say, legislation to prevent anarchy. You cannot have that and then be free. If you have legislation, you have controls over the masses. And the more legislation you have, the more control we are and the less free we are. Now, we are very, very, very close to a communist state. We are very close to a fascist state at this point. With our current people in office, we are almost a fascist state. The only difference, folks, and listen carefully, the only difference between a pure fascist state and the one we have right now is that we are electing our leaders. In a fascist state, you don't have that opportunity. But once we elect them, we allow them to operate as if this was a fascist state. With the erosion of our liberties, erosion of our property rights, erosion of our freedoms, right down to the wire, and we accept it because, as all governments have done since the beginning of time, is that they've eroded the freedom and responsibility of the people in times of crisis. And you'd say to yourself, well, this is a time of crisis, so isn't that natural? No, it's not. Yes, it is natural if you look at history. However, we are always at a time of crisis. There is always a crisis and always a reason why your liberties and freedom must be taken away. So number one, the first step in the Communist Manifesto is the Abolition of property. Okay, now we have the abolition of property. Well, what are we doing now? What about the principle of eminent domain? Well, we've taken that and just extended that to totally out of proportion. Eminent domain was meant, and it was a bad piece to be put in our Constitution, for the public good. And that meant for highways or pipelines or, you know, electrical wires and stuff like that, where it has to go in or else, you know, a city can't get electricity or whatever. But now eminent domain has been reinterpreted to mean that if, in fact, I can make that property more profitable than you make that property, that is for the public good. Thus, you lose your rights to that property. In other words, we have no more rights, property rights. And without property rights, you do not have a free state. You do not have free people. And folks, I contend we do not have property rights right now, because eminent domain can come into any town, take it away because they need a Walmart parking lot somewhere, because that parking lot can generate a lot more income than your parking lot or your house. And it makes no difference if your family has been on that property since 1776. You're out. And our federal courts have upheld that. And there is a lot of legislation, a lot of legal wrangling going on right now. There's a whole movement to try to get that overturned. And I'm for it 100%. Property rights are number one. Now, what's really sad is that the government is the largest property owner in the United States. And it's not getting less, it's getting more. So we talk about free people. How can we talk about free people when the government is the largest property owner and continues to acquire more and more property while we have less and less? So number one on the Communist Manifesto, abolition of property rights, we're right in there, folks. And in our Constitution, we blew that one away. The second one is a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. I need say nothing about that. I disagree with any progressive anything. If you want to have a tax of 10% on everyone, that means a person who makes $10,000 a year, they pay $1,000. A person who makes $100,000 a year, they pay $10,000. Now, that is progressive, if you will, but it's at least equal. Everyone pays the same percent. We don't have that now. People in the lower rungs pay nothing. I think that's wrong. I think people at the lower rungs should pay like everybody else. Everybody pays. Now, they would pay less because they make less. Now, the government says, oh, that's cruel, that's cruel. You can't do that. How can you be such a cruel person? But at the same time, they withdraw the FICA from the poor people's paycheck at the same rate as somebody who is wealthy, and they pay the same amount. So that's a regressive tax. So they speak with forked tongue. We have a very heavy graduated income tax. And today, income tax is only one. The Communist Manifesto mentioned income tax. They didn't even think or can imagine the number of taxes that we made up. We have franchise taxes. We have taxes on excise taxes on everything. Airline. Well, read your phone bill and try to figure out the tax structure. I defy anybody to explain that to him. In fact, they had on NPR radio, they had an expert of the phone company, billing guy, the guy who does the billing, and they asked, could you explain these charges? And he could not do it. Right now, Americans are paying over 50% of their income, some 60% of the income, in taxes. Communist Manifesto, we made it, man. And right now, by the way, the income tax rate in Russia is 13% across the board. All right? Think about that. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. Well, we had that already. What's 55% now? And that's a tax on a tax. We're right on the ballpark. Confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels. Now, we say that oh, we don't take property away from immigrants. Oh, by the way, I'm taking this article from, I got to give credit where credit's due. It says, A Layman's Look at the Communist Manifesto by John Keller. I'm sorry, I should have given John a recognition before, so I'm not reading it word for word. I'm just using it as an outline, and John, I appreciate very much you writing that. And it's on the web, and it's on the lewrockwell.com/ORIG, I guess original, /Keller5.html. Sorry about that. I didn't, I should have given credit before. But let's look at this once again. Now, we don't take property rights from immigrants. I mean, we don't say, well, since you're an immigrant, you're going to have property, property's going to be taken away for you, from you. But we get into an issue of who is an immigrant, who's not an immigrant. We'll not go there. That's a two-hour conversation minimum if we get into any detail. But then they said, and rebels. Well, now the government, what does the government do? The government can dictate with this Patriot Act, anybody who is suspected, you know, is a rebel. And your property can be taken away from you as a rebel. Well, you're a suspected rebel, all right? And no matter what you've done, you can be an enemy combatant because they don't like the position that you take. I am an enemy combatant, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because I'm speaking very harshly about our federal government right now. I can be considered an enemy combatant, and my property could be taken away from me. Okay? Mark up another one for the Communist Manifesto. Number five, centralization of credit in the banks of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Voila, 100% done deal. It was done back in 1914, and it's worked horribly ever since, and we'll not let go. And this is one issue that Ron Paul talks to and would love to see that the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not federal, which has no reserves, and is not a bank, and it is a monopoly of all the rich folks like the Rothschilds, the Warburgs, the Morgans, et al., who are controlling our currency. They control the currency, and they have no affiliation with any country whatsoever. Wherever they get the highest rate of interest, that's where they go. They don't care who lives. They don't care who dies. They don't care if a country collapses. They care for nothing other than their return on investment. The most cruel people in the world. I've often said that Hitler never aspired to the depths of these people. Hitler died before he even can get close to these guys. And this is our Federal Reserve System. But God forbid someone talk about it. You know, oh boy, you know, you're anti-American. You know, the Federal Reserve System is anti-American and pro-communist. Now let's go. Number six. Centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. Well, I guess you can take that. I think this article looks at it not so much from telecommunications, although with the Patriot Act, what they're doing is they're spying on us, right? They're listening. They can listen to anybody. They put all the calls through a computer and take out keywords, and then those keywords are used to determine whether or not these people should be picked up and interrogated, right? All right? If you want to look at it that way, I can look at it that way, and I do. I think that complies. But also, we have a federal post office, right? Since we have a federal post office, we're halfway there on that one. Here it says, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, the bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of soil generally in accordance with common plan. Well, I don't know about that one. I guess the extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. The only thing I can think of, and we're probably partially there, is look at Halliburton. Look at the wars that we start and the multinational corporations and who profits by all of this. And again, to heck with national boundaries, patriotism, nationalism, or anything like that. Who profits? Follow the money. Big corporations, big money people behind the corporations. This is where it's at. And I tell you, we are on our way there big time. Equal obligation of all to work. Establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. I guess I think the author makes an argument with unions and whatever. I don't look at it that way, but we do have such a large military, don't we? And we're asking our military, including our national reserves, not the national reserves, but the National Guard, I'm sorry, the National Guard, you know, to do things that the citizens should be doing. And we're asking the Army to do things that the citizens should be doing. So we increase the number of people, you know, in our armed forces to perform functions that really are not functions of the Army whatsoever. They're not really protecting us. They're creating, not the soldiers are, but, you know, the higher-ups are placing our soldiers in harm's way. So we're partially there. It says combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of all distinction between town and country by more equitable distribution of the populace over the country. And, well, I guess that is. We have agribusiness running agriculture, and they're tied into the multinational corporations. I think we're there, you know, and there is no distinction between the two. There's no more family farms. Now, the only thing is that we do have most of our businesses are personal, are private enterprise, and they're small businesses. And that's the thing that's driving the American economy. We're only partially there. And then 10, which is my favorite, free education for all children in public schools, abolition of children's factory labor in the present form, combination of education with industrial production, etc. Well, guess what? We're there. We've been there for a long time. I'm an advocate of private schools. Everything should be private. If you want to start a school, start a school. If the parents think that you're good enough and the school is good enough, they'll pay the tuition and they'll have the kids go there. We have to stop this government schooling that is teaching our children politically correct crap and history so warped. We grow up absolutely ignorant, with a lack of any appreciation for our civil liberties whatsoever. So, you know, when you take this and you compare the Communist Manifesto and how today's climate complies with the Communist Manifesto and how it contradicts, for the most part, our own Constitution, someone's got to convince me somehow. And no one's called in. Well, I'm surprised. I wonder if I'm speaking to thin air. But it is really surprising that at all we have people who think we are a free country, that this is America, land of the free. That is hogwash. It can only be free when we ourselves as individual are the governors of the state. Every single one of us. Instead of looking to the nanny state for every conceivable solution to every stupid problem we can think of. Everything from ethanol and gasoline to fighting overseas to ensure our oil, all that stuff. Folks, we have a problem. I cannot identify the United States as a free state. I mean, I would have to cheat. I would have to bend the words, I would have to go through doublespeak in order to even get close to the United States being, classifying the United States as a free country. This should bother us. This should make us revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that. I would like to mention one more time, if you have some time, please visit my friend Andy's website on economic issues. He will shed a lot of light on these issues from an economics point of view. He's very good. It's mytwocentsonline.com, and the two is a numerical two, right? Visit his website. Look at the 9/11 Truth Movement website. Some of them are very revealing. I think you'll find out a little bit about the complicity of, or have a better feel for complicity of the U.S. Involvement in 9/11. And what I'd like to do now, and also, we will be broadcasting live once again on Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. That's Thursday morning, May 31st at 6:30 a.m. Now let's go. And this is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments at libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.